Hello and welcome to another episode of A Little Ray of Sunshine, Inspirational Stories from Everyday People. Today I have a special guest, a good friend of mine, by the name of Dan Wadsworth. Dan, so glad you could make it and you could be here with me today.
Thanks for inviting me to come and have this chat with you. I've always enjoyed those visits you and I've had.
Of course. I always love talking to you, which is, in fact, is one of the biggest reasons why I invited you to be here, because I have such great admiration for you, and the stories that you've told me have inspired me for the past 16 years.
Well, I appreciate it. I've had some amazing teachers through my life. I think probably one of the greatest teachers, along with the influence you've had on my life, is probably my granddad. And, you know, anticipating this conversation that you and I would share, I've just thought a bit about my grandpa and the influence and the effect that he had on my life. And I can recall him telling me, son, of all of the things that you need to do in your life to be a successful Christian, first of all, remember to say your prayers, pay your tithing, and read your scriptures. And he says, if you do those three things, you're going to be a lot closer to being a successful God-fearing Christian, and that's important.
Yeah, and just from knowing you, I know that you've been living that. In fact, let me tell you a quick story that you had an impression upon me. One of the many times that I've been over to your garage and we've been tinkering, or we've been trying to come up with some kind of a, I don't know, metal that you could, you know, can weld for me and make something.
Sure.
Whatever my imagination was. And this one time, we couldn't figure it out. And I just remember you taking off your welder's hat, and yeah, you said, pal, why don't we just pray on this and see what we come up with? Well, we did. And shortly right after that, we came up with the idea of what we needed to do to make this thing work. So that stuck with me.
Well, and thanks for that. And the example, again, that my granddad, because I grew up in a welding shop, literally my family was involved in either farming or heavy industry my entire life. And I walked into Grandpa's welding shop one time, and he had the front axle of a John Deere tractor laying on the welding table. And I asked him what he was doing, and I don't know, I was probably 10 or 12 by then. And he explained to me, this is broken, son, and I've got to fix it. And it's made out of something that's kind of hard to weld. It's cast iron. And he said, Daniel, how would you approach this? How would you go about this? And I thought, well, Grandpa, I'd make sure it was ground clean and the pieces all fit back like they were supposed to. And he says, yeah, that's important. And I'd make sure it was warm. I'd do all of these things. And he says, yes, and that's all really important. But there's something that you should do ahead of all of that. And I'm scratching my brain because I just hero worship my granddad. What is it that I forgot that he's taught me? And the more I thought about it, he said, you need to prepare yourself. Okay, what does that mean? He said, son, it's my suggestion that before I tie into a project like this, I just need to go to the master and ask my Lord, help me understand the best way to do this. And it impressed me to the point, Grover, that he was, in my eyes, all things as my granddad, and he was a very sought-after craftsman, but the humility that he had and that he taught me reminds me of the necessity and the importance of us to stay close to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And if you think about it, so many times in the Lord's mortal life, as he was with his disciples or doing whatever it was, and he would say, I need just a few minutes, or I need some time to be with my Father. And he'd wander off into the trees or on the other end of the boat or whatever the case happened to be, just to hang out with his Heavenly Father. He didn't have to ask him, what should I do? Because he knew. He knew the answer, but he just wanted to be with his Father. And just like I said, maybe that's a little, I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but he just wanted to be near his Father and spend some time praying and just feel his Spirit around him. And with the example of that and my granddad, I was called upon to do a weld repair on a drag line. I went to work in a open pit coal mine in 1978. It's in western, central, southern Wyoming, an open pit mine. One of the pieces of equipment that they had there was a Model 1570 Bucyrus Erie drag line, big drag line. Every time the operator would pull a control, to load the bucket, it would take an 82-yard bite out of the overburden. Big digger. And the boom of this drag line that holds the bucket up out of the ground, it's a big structure. It's 180 feet from level ground to the point of the boom. It's a big machine. And the boom looks like, oh, I don't know, maybe a whale bones where the ribs and the everything is fastened and fixed that way. That's what we would, most people have not seen one. That's what you would imagine. Wow, that's a big whale. But we had the ability to monitor the strength and the health, if you will, of the cords on the dragline boom, the main beams. And one of them had a fracture in it. Not bad, but bad enough that needed to be repaired. The only way you could get to that was the ribs or the lacing that holds the machine in place, these cords in place. You have to cut a window in the cord, in the lacing. And this is a piece of pipe about 12 inches in diameter, I guess, and the main cords are about 2 feet in diameter. And it had cracked where we couldn't get to it to see it. There were probably 36 welders on that mine property. Myself and two other guys were the only ones that were certified to weld on that boom. There's some special testing that you have to go through to be able to do that. So Jim, another guy that I work with and know very well, in fact, is he's probably a better welder than me, if truth were told.
I don't know if I believe that.
Well, this guy is just inspirational. He's meticulous in everything he does. And he did a repair on this crack, and he did it probably like I would have done it, and it held. And I think it was probably 3 or 4 months later, it broke again in the same place. And the best steel will ever be is when it's brand new, not stressed, twisted, broke, cracked, or repaired. Every time you do a repair on it, I'm not going to say that it weakens it, but its integrity, its structural integrity is just not what it's been before. Okay, so it broke again. And now comes the challenge to me. And I happened to be on shift the day that this happened. And they said, okay, cowboy, get to it. You got to make this right. It would be literally thousands of man hours, not an exaggeration, to lower that boom to the ground, take it apart, and try to do that repair from the comfort of standing on the ground. This cracks at about probably 130, 150 feet off the ground. So you got to fix this. Give it your best shot. But sunshine, you better make it right. So I got my tools up there. I went to all the precautions to make sure that it was right. I had everything I needed. And just as I was ready to get to work and start cutting steel, my memory went back to my grandpa repairing that tractor part and him telling me, the scriptures tell us, son, that we should pray over our fields and our family and our crops and our servants. He said, this tractor is a servant to its owner. And with that in mind, he taught me that I should pray over those things. And so before I climbed off the catwalk out into the platform to do this work, I took my welding hat off again. And I asked my Heavenly Father to just guide my hands, help me do the best I can do, and make this just my best work. And please just bless me through this process. I did the work. I finished up, I painted it, I spooled up my tools, and I climbed down off the boom. I think it was probably, oh, I don't know, like 1982 when I did the repair on that part of that boom. And when I left that mine property in 93, more than a decade later, it had never been repaired again after.
It was still holding.
It was still holding. Now, I absolutely will not take any credit for any of that. I just ask our Creator to help me do my best. I think far too often people have a tendency to say, I'm not worthy to pray. The Lord doesn't hear me. I'm not that good a guy. I'm just, nah.
So what do you say to those people who feel that way?
Well, first of all, you know, I think it's a shame because that's not the case. And we just need to recognize that Jesus is the Christ. He lived and taught and died and paid for us. And even the thief hanging on the cross next to him, as he was being crucified, said to the Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom, I think is what he said. And the Lord said back to this complete stranger who was a thief, said, you and I will be together today in paradise. We just need to remember that he loves us and he wants to help us and wants to make our life sweet. And probably one of the best things that we can do to move in that direction is just go to him all the time, just hang out with him.
I know that that's what you've done. I know that about you. But how has that made you, that knowledge you gained from your grandfather, because I hear you talk about him quite often. Yeah. What has that knowledge done for you now as a grandpa yourself?
I have to say that it's given me the inspiration to be more verbal about that exact gift, the gift of prayer, to my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids. They're tiny, but I know they're impressionable. And one of my daughters say, when I think of my Heavenly Father as my father, it becomes easier for me to talk to my daddy, to my papa, to my Abba. And with that in mind, he loves us all individually, no matter where we're at in our walk. He loves us. Wow, go to him and ask him and talk to him and just chat with him. I'm maybe guilty of not making my prayers more formal. You know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily need to be in my white shirt and tie and kneel in that position. I pray all the time. And I think if all of us would approach it, it's a conversation with your Lord, with your Creator, with your Heavenly Father. And as a grandfather, that's been a blessing to me to help my kids too.
So. Right. And I know your dear sweet wife, and I know the relationship that the two of you have. How have those experiences that you've had throughout your life helped you to be the good husband that you are?
My wife has had some very big health challenges. She's had some wretched burdens to bear, if you will. And because that's true, her mobility is limited. And I can't tell you the amount of times that I've felt just overcome with the need to be able to share some moments with her and the Lord in humble prayer, whether it's over a medical issue or a test result or a is this safe for you to eat or a supplement or a doctor choice or whatever it is. But I know if I can humble myself with my wife and she and I can go to the Lord hand in hand and with our heads bowed, that it's blessed us so much through these trials and challenges. And I know that by doing that, it's made our life sweet. And we're best friends. We just do everything that we can, that she can do. And again, it's quite limited, but she's positive and she's happy and she blesses every person she comes in contact with. And it's because of her sunny disposition. And I know that that is due in large part to the blessings that our Father gives her. So.
Right. And so together you raised how many children?
We have 5 children of our own, 2 sons and 3 daughters. We have 20 grandkids, and we're the proud owner of 5 great-grandkids too. So that's, wow, that's come to us oh so very quickly. It's hard for me to imagine because I still see myself as a knuckleheaded teenager, but it's been a long time since that was the truth. But we've got some amazing, wonderful family.
Right. And you're empty nesters, as are my wife and I.
Yeah.
And so with that comes unique blessings and sometimes unique challenges as well. What has been the biggest blessing for you and your wife, knowing that you're empty nesters and that your children and your grandchildren come when they can to visit you? Mm-hmm. How do you maintain that positive outlook, the two of you, in life?
You know, I don't mean to oversimplify this, but it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. Nothing that we do we do it alone. Every aspect of our life, our Heavenly Father is a God of detail, right down to the choice of what kind of weed killer are you going to put on the grass? Who are you going to vote for? What is it? And that inspiration for us to know that she's got my back, I got her back, and the Lord's got both of our backs, and the blessings just come to us in ways that makes me say, wow, that's awesome.
And I have to say that anytime I'm around your wife, knowing the health issues and struggles that she's gone through, you know, you wouldn't know it. And that's a compliment to her.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it because she's just so darn positive.
She is, and she's an inspiration to be around. She's laughing and joking and teasing about something all the time, even through the disabilities that would just devastate a lesser person. But she just keeps smiling and keeps on going.
And she keeps on going.
Yeah.
I know the two of you got married young. I want to say you were like 13.
Well, actually, at that time, we were civilly married here in the great state of Idaho. And the laws said that you have to be 17 years old to be able to sign your own wedding certificate. And so the day after I turned 17, we got married. I was not going to ask my mommy to sign for me so I could get married. That wasn't in the plans. But we've been married since we were children. And I'm 65. She's going to be 64 in just a few days. So we've been at this for a minute. And it's been a glorious life. It's not been without its train wrecks, as all of God's children can attest to. There's tough times and tough things, but we've learned that with God's love and hard work, you can get through it. You can get through it.
So, Dano, if you could go back to your younger self and stand and face him and square up nose to nose with him, what advice would you give him?
I would say, don't ever fall into the trap of pridefulness. Be honest with yourself. Realize that you're going to make mistakes. There was only one perfect mortal man. He's not here right now as a mortal man. Work hard. Love with your whole soul. Commit. Sitting on the fence is going to get you nowhere. Pray through your decisions. And when you get to the spot where you've made a decision, just pull out all the stops and go. Go for it. Don't be lazy in life. And love deeply. And don't forget where every single blessing comes from. It's from our Father.
And so having that knowledge and being able to live that way, I can attest, just being your friend for as long as I have, I've been a recipient of those blessings vicariously through you, because just watching you from a distance and admiring you and the man that you are has blessed my life, and consequently, it's blessed my family's life. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Absolutely. It's been a privilege. One of my greatest privileges to be able to call you my friend.
Well, there's something to be said about friendship, isn't there?
Yes, there sure is. Absolutely.
What's your philosophy about friendship or life? Or what's a philosophy you'd like to leave the listeners with?
I think that God taught us and our Savior asked us to do unto others as you'd have them do to you. And I think that if we approach everybody, stranger, best friend, new neighbor, enemy, if we give them the opportunity to be treated with some, at least some amount of respect to start with, and it's not always easy. Oh my goodness, my ancestors came from the Scottish Highlands. And so the truth is that my genetics, the first thing I want to do is grab my sword, but that's wrong. Just avoid the contention and fill your heart with love, because that's what's going to get you through the tough times, without a doubt.
That's great advice for not just me, but for everybody. Well, Dano, you know I love you.
I sure do. Love you too, brother.
It's just been a treat for me to be taught by you. So thanks for all you do. Uh-huh. And I'll thank you in advance for all that you will do.
I appreciate it. I've been blessed in ways that are not able to even count with my relationship with you as a friend and a mentor, without a doubt. And it's been a great blessing to me. So thank you too.
All right. Thanks, Dan. And to my listeners, as always, remember to speak up, speak out, and speak often. Bye-bye.